Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst at OANDA. And Ed, it's always great getting you on the show each week just to hear how you're looking at things in these crazy, turbulent markets. The big news last week was the Federal Reserve and Jerome Powell did kick off their first rate hike. They said one of many this year. They were targeting six more rate hikes throughout the end of the year. Some of the Fed governors wanted to see it get up to around a 2% Fed funds rate. One of them even mentioned a 3% Fed funds rate. But there's a little skepticism in the market, Ed, because at this point, we had a 7.9 CPI reading just a couple weeks back showing that inflation is almost at 8%. And this is probably the most behind the curve the Fed has ever been before they started a rate hiking cycle. And the spread between the 2-year and the 10-year is about the most narrow it's been at any point in time when they started a rate hike. So we're almost at a nearly flat yield curve. So what do you make of the backdrop of the interest rate environment, bonds, and where the Fed is at on this journey?
Well, and thanks for having me on again. And I think right now there's an escalating effort to slow inflation. And now you're really starting to see, markets are expecting the Fed to be a lot more aggressive than anyone thought from a couple months ago, or even from the early days of the war in Ukraine. And you're probably going to see that we're going to get that 8% handle at the next inflation report. and there's still a risk that inflation could still be pretty hot over the next few months. And so we have certainty as far as when some of these geopolitical risks will ease, because that's really driving a lot of this latest inflation surge. But I think you pointed out the market reaction, and as far as the Treasury curve goes, everything has been flattening, and inversion focus is kind of the name of the game. We've seen some parts of the curve already invert. The big one, twos and tens, we're sub 20 basis points. So, growth concerns are extremely elevated, and I think that you're probably going to see that. The expectations that the Fed is going to be raising and get rates, near 2% by the end of the year. Fed Chair Powell thinks the economy is on solid footing still, and he thinks that it can handle, this steady stream of interest rate hikes. And the economy is going to be tested. And this is something, the Fed has been late in tackling inflation. They're doing it now, and you're probably going to see that this is really going to complicate the growth trade. And I think what's really focused on every trader's mind is, when will we get a better sense on some of the bigger geopolitical risks? When can those ease? And that's the big question mark. So I think Fed policy can go forward for now with tightening, but eventually, if we continue to see big shocks to growth, that could complicate what the Fed does.
Yeah, a lot of commentators have put out pieces just over the last even month or two saying that this could be one of the largest policy errors the Fed has done to have gotten started so late. I mean, they had a lot of cover, a year or two ago when things were growing, when the GDP numbers were a lot healthier, when there was the reopening trade, when the stock market was hitting new all-time highs, it seemed like, every week or so. And now with these GDP growth estimates being a lot lower and with rates already having picked up on the 2 and the 10. I mean, we're looking at a 10-year rate of 2.72 right now. And as that creeps up higher and higher and higher, it will eventually start to pressure the market. So do you think there's just a breaking point that we're going to see later this year, Ed, where as the Fed funds rate rises and as the, let's say the 10-year gets up to 3, 3.5, 4, is there a point where the market has a tantrum and says, no mas?
Oh, I think we're probably due for a tantrum later in the year. It's something that this economic recovery has been one of the strongest ones in the advanced world. And I think the problem is that you're starting to see there's bigger global growth fears that are percolating. And you have risks of some key economies entering a recession. You have the strong likelihood that eventually, the U.S. consumer is going to, blow through a lot of those savings, and you're going to see, some big shocks to the economy, and we're probably going to be heading to some type of recession. It might not be a severe one, but I think that the risks to the outlook have just become extremely elevated, and right now the market is still going to go through that stimulus withdrawal. I mean, we have to remember, we're probably not going to get much more from the Biden administration. We're going to be talking about midterm elections before you know it. So there's nothing that's going to get really done as far as providing some of that sugar that this economy got hooked on. And I think that with no fiscal support, and right now monetary policy is still accommodative, but after the first few rate hikes, it's going to be restrictive. And I think the economy is really going to have that stimulus withdrawal. And yes, I think we'll see moments of some type of a tantrum. And that's why you're still seeing a very difficult trading environment because as far as how traders are positioning themselves. But I think there's still a lot of opportunities out there. But right now, it's because the growth outlook is very uncertain, you're not going to see strong conviction, I think, behind a lot of this the position going forward.
Well, in this kind of an environment, I mean, there are sectors like the financial sector that would benefit from rising rates. Obviously, some of this uncertainty, and a lot of this is Ukraine related, but it's also related to inflation, is helping the commodity sector. But are there any other sectors in the general U.S. equities markets that you think may be under-recognized at this point? I know some people are turning to more defensive stocks. Are there anything that jumps out to you as a place investors can go to hide, or a place they can at least go to weather the storm?
Well, I think yield curve steepening is important for financials. So right now it's been flattening. So you might start to see that financial trade lose some of its luster. I think that in the end, and today not a good example, but Nasdaq being down 0.9% as we're talking, you're going to see that there will probably be a shift towards some more traditional defensive plays where you might see mega cap tech stocks that are focused on cloud and security will start to see safe haven flows. You might see some investors kind of gravitating more towards consumer staples. People are still going to eat. People are still going to buy what they need to do to live. And you might see the rich still having a shopping spree, and the reopening trade and vacationing and travel and getting new everything as you return to work or seeing more people. That trade could still have some ways to go. But I think you're probably going to see investors are really fixated. Yes, the energy trade has been overdone, but you're still looking at elevated oil prices, gas prices, rest of this year, probably into next year. The margins are great for those companies, so that's probably a good environment. So I think there's a lot of opportunities out there, but I think that you'll probably see a lot of investors, some of the frothier trades that haven't panned out, they might abandon ship. I think the supply chain issues on chips, you can see that drag out a little bit longer. So this is not going to be, I think, going forward, a market where we really see steady, consistent, every sector green type days. I think you're really going to see traders be kind of repositioning their portfolios.
Well, you had brought up the strength of energy there, Ed, and that's another harbinger of possibly tough times ahead. Usually when people say if the oil prices double, in a year or two, that's a harbinger of weakness to come. Well, we've seen oil prices go from just 2 or 3 years ago from $20 to $30 to now up over 100. Just last week, oil had pulled back into the mid-90s, but today, as we're talking, it's at 108.33 for crude. So do you think that these high energy prices are also going to fuel the price increases we see every business faced with? And is that going to hurt the consumer to the point where maybe consumption is hampered?
Well, we'll definitely start to see some demand destruction from these oil prices. I think it'll probably take a couple more months of dealing with oil, well above $100. Despite all we're seeing, there is still significant strength. There's still a need to fill, stock up inventories for a lot of these companies. So you're probably gonna to have oil prices are the risks for an EU ban on Russian energy is growing, and that could really deliver another massive shock to oil prices, where you could see 20% higher and more. And I think that you're probably going to see that I think that the way the economy is the U.S. economy is positioned, there's this likelihood that by the time we get to early summer, that dealing with $100 oil, is still going to be something that parts of the economy can handle it, but most won't. And that's going to, I think, really kind of continue to drive that inversion narrative we talked about earlier. But you're going to see more private oil drilling, happen at these elevated oil price levels. So it's a very difficult market right now because there's so much risk of short-term disruption. Even over the weekend we had the Houthis attack Saudi Aramco facilities. You have so many potential shocks to the market that oil is likely to remain a fairly supported trade. But I think that in the end, you're probably going to see investors are going to be a little bit more cautious as far as that growth outlook if oil, continues to make a run towards 130 or even higher.
That makes sense. So we'll have to keep tabs on these energy markets. But as you mentioned, some of the oil and gas stocks are looking pretty good, especially as their hedges from prior years roll off and they're able to access some of these higher prices. Their margins are expanding, and so there's still probably some growth in the oil and gas stocks. But for the rest of corporate America and the world, really, there's some pressure on their businesses and their cost inputs, and for consumers, it's hitting their wallet. But there is one other area where some people are trying to seek safe haven, and that is in the precious metals. There has been a pullback, admittedly, in gold since the Ukraine tensions have eased some, although every day it seems like the news changes on that front. But gold is still hanging out around the mid-1930s. What do you make of the gold market? Are we at a point where it just needs to take a pause here after having a big run a couple weeks back, or do you think there's more upside?
And what's really been tough about the gold trade is that when you consider what has happened with treasury yields, I think that it gets lost. But we've seen quite the move. If you take a look at the 10-year treasury yield in just the past month, since the early March lows, we were at 170. Now we're closer to 230. That type of move is crippling for gold. Non-interest paying gold. And I think that you're going to see that gold will benefit from those growth concerns, inversion fears. Countdown to recession is likely to lead to safe haven flows for gold. But this has been gold has held 1900. If it can continue to do so, I think that as these risks remain on the table, gold should start to appreciate again, but it's just difficult. I mean, with the 10-year treasury yield up 12 basis points to 227, that's normally a very difficult environment for gold. And gold's hanging in there today. So I think you'll probably see gold over the short term still gain some traction here, but no, it's going to be an interesting trade as it goes forward.
Yeah, just the move in the 10-year, as you noted, Ed, is typically a headwind for the precious metal, but inflation staying high and all other commodities racing higher has probably been a helpful backdrop. So a nice tug of war with different forces in the market. Well, one more sector that we'll wrap up with that's had its own tug of war over the last few months is the cryptos. And I know that you follow the space closely. Any thoughts on Bitcoin, Ethereum, the crypto space?
Well, right now there's kind of crypto has been stuck in no man's land. It's kind of been trading between the mid-30s, and it's for the most part it's been capped by the low 40,000s. And I think you're really seeing there's been this sigh of relief that now you're seeing, the U.S. government is not looking to shut down crypto, but they're looking to drive regulation that can ultimately foster some of its growth. There's a lot of question marks on how that's going to take form, but overall, there's this kind of this belief that you're going to see the rules that get put in place is going to really provide more safeties for consumers. And I think that the financial stability and systemic risk is a big, big concern for the Biden administration. And they're going to outline some more guidelines, which, could be troubling for some cryptos, but overall, there's optimism that you're going to see further growth here in the space. The focus on smart contracts, blockchain, who's going to be giving Ethereum run for their money. There's growing competition. There's still billions of dollars getting thrown into the space, and I think there's this belief that you're going to see other opportunities emerge, like helium, where you're providing some actual value as far as another type of global network. So there's all these different types of new markets that can emerge from cryptos, and I think the space is still early. It's still, I mean, what we talk about today versus what we'll talk about next year is going to be night and day. But I think there's still tremendous interest in cryptos, and you're probably going to see that potential regulatory action and legislative actions are really going to provide mostly support here for cryptos going forward. But I mean, if some stable coins get hit, you could see some days where there could be a massive sell-off.
Well, we'll keep tabs on all these markets, Ed. Always appreciate getting your thoughts and balanced outlook on really every sector. And we'll check in again next week. I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about. Have a great rest of your week, and thanks for spending some time with us here at the KE Report.
Thank you so much.